Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Dollars, the running back leaks out, and the inside pass, and that is going to get in the end zone. Troy Franklin scoring on the final play of the half. Six touchdowns in the first half.
That's for Bo Nix with six touchdowns. Here to talk about Oregon and some of the other teams headed off to the Big Ten Conference, Tyson Alger, i5corridor.com. Tyson has published a piece this week in which he kind of talked about the departing Pac-12 teams that go off to the Big Ten. Tyson, thanks for making time.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's sunny and beautiful. What do you do on a sunny, beautiful day like this besides this radio hit?
You know, I woke up this morning and I drove down to the Park Box. Portland State was having their first spring practice of the season. So I went down and had a cup of coffee, watched Portland State get underway, and was promptly awarded with a $50 parking ticket. So that's the length. Those are the lengths that I go to bring my readers that the happenings of what's going on with the Vikings. So
I love that.
It's been a good day.
How do the Vikings look? Quick assessment on them.
You know, this is probably going to be the best team they've had in 4 or 5 years, but it comes at a time when the Big Sky is as good as it's ever been. I think they have 9 opponents this year that were previously in the top 25, but, you know, they have a fourth-year starting quarterback in Dont'a Chattery. They have some talent at wide receiver. They have a really good running back core if they can stay healthy, but the big thing for the Vikings is going to be whether or not they can stop anybody. That was their problem last year, and Bruce Barnum this morning was optimistic that maybe this is the season that starts to kind of turn. But you know how it is at Portland State. It takes a lot of effort to get that ball moving up the hill. So I think it'll be better, but you know, we'll wait and see.
Yeah, I like that they've got a quarterback. I actually like that level of play. That league in particular seems to be benefiting from some of the transfer portal stuff because they're getting a bunch of young players in that league that aren't getting scholarships at other schools who are saying, hey, I can use this as a stepping stone.
Well, that's one thing. If you look at the last 2 years of Portland State's recruiting, you know, this is a program that hasn't traditionally been a recruiting powerhouse by any stretch of the imagination, but they've put together consecutive top 10 FCS recruiting classes. And I think a lot of it is because of the kind of the way that the FBS recruiting is going. It's you're seeing programs like Oregon take a lot more guys that are ready-made out of the portal and that sort of thing than taking a risk on some high school kids. So there are far more pieces that fall through the cracks. Of course, that makes for a tricky situation for those FCS teams, because if those guys come in, obviously you're going to take advantage of it, but you're also having to then try to keep those kids throughout the course of their career. So you want guys to be good, but not too good, or else you're going to lose them pretty quickly.
You did a great job in sort of previewing the four teams from the Pac-12 that'll be moving on to the Big Ten, including Oregon and Washington, of course UCLA and USC among them. You know, and you ranked them, and you know, what made you sort of take that look at this time of year, and what are you looking for there?
Yeah, you know, it's, well, the main reason why I took that look is because you kind of felt like all the moving and the pieces were about to kind of finish moving around, and then we saw Carlos Laughlin leave this morning for Ohio State, so maybe not quite the stability I was thinking, but just, you know, it's spring. I feel like the Pac-12 is in the rear view. I know we're finishing it up with basketball, but at this point, like, Oregon's opposition is the Big Ten. It's the Ohio States, it's the Michigans, it's the Penn States of the world. And I just kind of wanted to, as a reporter around spring, you kind of start gauging how the teams are going to be balanced against the other ones. And we're just completely foreign to, you know, how this looks for these teams in the Big Ten. And, you know, for the past decade, it's been pretty darn easy to pencil Oregon at the top of the Pac-12 or assume that they're going to hang around there. And some of that has been because of the deficiencies of a USC or a Washington and the ups and downs that they've had. But this is big boy football now, John. Like, it's you know, it's you're not going to benefit just because one program's down, because there's going to be three or four that are ready to charge. And, you know, you're kind of seeing the ecosystem already kind of evolve there with Ohio State poaching Chip Kelly and Oregon's running backs coach. Everyone's gearing up and getting ready for this battle.
Yeah, let's talk about Carlos Laughlin. And he gets to Oregon in January of 2022. And he had previously been at Western Kentucky and Florida State, had helped recruit, and then Memphis. I know that there had been some talk about, you know, him having relationships with that had ties to Willie Taggart, of course. And but losing him to Ohio State, in your mind, how big of a loss is this for Oregon?
I don't think the actual positional loss is that terrible, because you know this is an Oregon coaching staff that has a ton of cohesion. This is probably the least attrition that they've had. I mean, shoot, it's been 2 years in a row where they've had the same coordinators. I can't remember the last time that's been the case for the Ducks. So actually replacing a running backs coach, albeit a good one like Carlos Laughlin, isn't going to be an impossible task. I just kind of worry about like what this shows as the hierarchy of the conference, as I was alluding to before. Like, it's not necessarily a big deal to lose Carlos Laughlin, but it is a big deal to lose him if your direct new rival is viewing it as an upgrade for themselves. So, I think we're going to be in an era now where you see a lot more moving within the conference, and you're going to see some good newspaper material for game weeks, because I think it's going to be pretty fun when the Ducks and the Buckeyes play this season, because there's already plenty of on the line between those two teams, but now you get a little bit of the coaching rivalry as well.
Does Oregon have a counter move to Ryan Day adding Chip Kelly and Laughlin? Do you foresee this being a little bit of a arms race where Oregon might go out and try to add a coach or two, maybe not this offseason, but do they start to think in those terms as Ohio State is going, hey, we're looking for any edge?
Dude, Dan Lanning is always analyzing the game and seeing where his program is deficient, where he can improve. And if he sees that a school like Ohio State is bolstering their staff either at one position or even in auxiliary positions, if that's a deficiency that the Ducks have, I think Lanning will at the very least ask for it, whether or not he's able to, you know, take a former offensive genius and get him, convince him to go from a head coaching role to his offensive coordinator. You know, that's kind of remains to be seen. But yeah, like I don't see Lanning like taking this just in stride and saying like, you know, we're just going to wear this one on the chin. Like I think the Ducks are going to be the aggressors here too moving forward.
Tyson Alger, i5corridor.com. I noticed you're not paywalling. Are you doing a month where you're not going to paywall?
Yeah, that it might not be the smartest thing, John, you know, giving away this stuff for free. But, you know, one of the things that I kind of admired at when you launched your website was I you know, I've always thought you were a really good business mind, and seeing the way that I think that first month you had it in front of the paywall, so a lot of people could kind of come look and tour around and see that, you know, there's quality writing and sports reporting, that sort of thing. And I just figured with it being spring football this month and, you know, kind of diving into the Timbers and Thorns coverage, I figured this might be the time to, you know, put some new paint on the house and invite people in for a little bit of a lunch. You know, come check out the i5 Corridor for free this month. And if you like it, would really appreciate it if you came and supported the rest of the way.
I like that because it gives people a chance to sample, check it out, see what it's about, and makes it really accessible to people. When you look at those four teams that are leaving the Pac-12 to go to the Big Ten, how does Oregon, USC, Washington, UCLA stack up in your mind?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Oregon number one, not only because they have a great current roster, but they have some stability within the coaching staff. And out of the four programs, they have pretty widely considered the most successful NIL venture out of the four of them. Then I'm going to go USC. You know, obviously Lincoln Riley's stature isn't quite what it was 2 years ago, but that's still a school that's going to be able to recruit. Like, you still have quarterbacks coming out of your backyard. And if you've looked at their 2025 class, they've gone in and pulled out two really good defensive linemen from Georgia too. So they're addressing that defensive issue. For number three, I'm going to go Washington. You've seen the proof of concept with the Huskies of how it can work. but also you've seen everything that's happened this offseason, and I think it just brings too much instability to rank them any higher. And then you have UCLA. It's a school that has no good recruits. It's kind of on their back heels with their coaching staff, and I don't expect the Rose Bowl to exactly be full for the non-premier games next season.
Yeah, and I think the whole departure of Chip Kelly at UCLA is interesting to me. Like, I actually don't think they had a chance with him. They really don't have a chance without him. How ugly could it be at UCLA? Is that a 4-win team? Is it a 7-win team? Where's the ceiling for the Bruins?
Well, the ceiling, I'm probably going to say, like, I have to take a look at their schedule to see what they might be able to squeak out of non-conference. But, you know, considering that a guy who started half their games of the season last year is now Oregon's backup and their coach is an offensive coordinator somewhere, like, this could be a really, really ugly season in UCLA. And, you know, I'm not quite sure how quickly it can get better, too. I think their recruiting class was in, like, the 60s this year. It was, like, one of the worst out of the entire Big Ten. Unless Deshaun Foster has something magic planned up his sleeves, I think it's going to be a long rebuild for them over there in Westwood.
Yeah, and I think potential there is probably 5-6 wins at best. Washington and Jed Fish, you say, you know, they've got proof of concept, but are you concerned that Fish comes into this and is in over his head to start with, or there's just been too much turnover with the AD and the coaching staff and losing Penix? I mean, well, if I'm a Washington fan, I'm a little anxious right now.
Yeah, and you're completely right to be. I mean, 3 months ago, this team was the class of the Pac-12, and they had their rival beat 3 years in a row, I mean, 3 games in a row. Like, it couldn't be better to be a Huskies fan. The one thing I will say, though, with this transition from Kalen DeBoer to Jed Fish is I do think Jed Fish is a better program builder if you're going from, like, the bottom level. You know, obviously DeBoer brought in Penix and, you know, had some plug-and-play guys, but Fish is a really good recruiter. Like, they were able to build that talent base up at Arizona really fast, and they're able to develop it as well. So I think if you're looking kind of long-term and building that sort of thing, I think Fish is going to do a great job. But, you know, this is also modern college football where you just saw Fish lead one job, and he couldn't really give a straight answer when was asked if this next one was his dream job. So it's, you know, who knows with Washington's financial constraints moving forward, they're only getting the half a share. And obviously it's not a great sign if you've seen two athletic directors leave in the last 6 months, but I think Fish will do okay with what he has available to him.
Lincoln Riley, you alluded to the shine coming off. He also is losing Caleb Williams. What is USC's biggest concern right now as it moves to the Big Ten?
I'm not worried about them reloading with skilled players. I mean, every 2 or 3 years, it seems like they have some big quarterback recruit coming in, and, you know, they grow them in their backyard there, and same goes for receivers and running backs. The two biggest issues for USC last season were they couldn't protect Caleb Williams at all. If you remember that Oregon game, I came away so impressed with Caleb Williams after that game just because he was running for dear life the entire darn game. So offensive line is going to be huge for them, especially moving to the Big Ten where you have that sort of kind of body types. But then it's just defense. I mean, the Trojans can score. We've seen it for the last 2 years, but they haven't been able to stop anybody. And it's put them in situations where they finally look like they're going to have that ascension, and then they get smacked by Utah in the Pac-12 championship game, and then they have a down year this year. So, yeah, I think they're still going to be able to put together quite skillful offensive teams, but they really have to figure out what they're doing on the defensive side of the ball there.
Oregon's got Dylan Gabriel at quarterback. Dan Lanning, Oregon coach, talking about him today.
Yep, he gets it, right? Our guys get it. Dylan's a guy that gets it. You know, we talk about connections, one of the DNA traits in this program, and that requires time away from ball together. So I think he knows that that's really important for him to be in sync with the guys he's playing with, and that's, you know, will pay off in the future.
Dylan Gabriel, what do you expect this to look like for Oregon?
I expect it to come out looking like a well-oiled machine. You know, it hurts to lose a Bo Nix, and you might think people are crazy for not saying Oregon's in as bad of a spot as Washington for them losing to Michael Penix. But with Oregon, you have a 14,000-yard career passer coming in to replace a 15,000-yard career passer. Like, this is experience. This overall roster is better than it was last year. I feel like Knicks might have been the prologue for the Ducks. And I think with the improved offensive line, with some of the guys that you have coming, especially at wide receiver, Terrence Ferguson at tight end, they needed a guy who could come in and instantly figure out and operate this offense and lead them to a very successful season. And I think that's what Dylan Gabriel will do. I don't think he's going to be quite as athletic with his feet as Bo Nix was, but he has a completion percentage that's right around the same. Like, it's a high efficient, fast spread offense that I think is going to look in some aspects similar to last year. But yeah, it's this is a very good quarterback that they came in to run a very good offense.
Is it enough for Oregon to be as good as they were a year ago, or do they have to be better? Do they have to take a step forward?
I think they have to take a step forward, because I think the goal is for them to win the national championship. And obviously last year that team wasn't good enough to win the national championship. I expect the rest of college football to be better next year too. I don't think last year's national champion, Michigan, was nearly as good as Georgia was the two prior years before that. And I think eventually you're going to get another team or two that's that good. And so I think, especially with everything consolidating towards the top, like, these teams have to keep getting better year in and year out. And that's kind of expectations that are put upon them. Now, obviously things change a little bit starting next year with the expansion of the college football playoff, and you're going to be able to say, like, this was a playoff team. But, you know, that's, I don't really think that's what Oregon's shooting for right now, not with kind of the all of the things that they have going in the right direction for them at the moment.
Talia Von Olhoff, and this is off college football, but Oregon State's star guard jumping in the transfer portal, saying that this chapter is ending for her. She's going to have her last year somewhere else. How concerned should fans be for Scott Ruick and Oregon State women's basketball?
You know, that was unexpected. I mean, she's a fantastic player, and I mean, that kind of caught me off guard when I saw that right before coming on. But, you know, I think if there's one coach that you want to buy into right now around the state and in terms of putting it together, I mean, Scott Ruick's probably the one right now. I mean, this was such a fantastic season for them, making the Elite Eight and being really the only consistently fun basketball team to watch in the state this year. Obviously losing to Lee is a big part of that, but they have a lot of young guards. They have a lot of veterans returning as well. Like, I think they'll be okay. Obviously this is a hit, and you know, some of the verbiage in there too of, like, I think she used, like, considering the circumstances, which I'm assuming is alluding to, like, the changing of the conferences and, the changing of the conferences and everything. Like, that's not necessarily what you want to see, especially like 2 days after your season came to an end. But overall, I think Oregon State's going to be fine, and I think they're going to continue to be a very, very well-coached and well-run program moving forward.
Different on the men's side, Jordan Pope now telling On Three Sports he's getting in the portal. That is a steeper hill, I think, for Wayne Tinkle, because he doesn't have proof of performance or great culture in his locker room to kind of harness right now. Jordan Pope on the move. What is Wayne Tinkle's move?
I don't know, man. That's a tough one. Like, Pope was really fun to watch play this year, and that was kind of like one of the saving graces of Beavers basketball is, you know, since they had their own Elite Eight run, they've absolutely bottomed out. And, you know, the last year at least, they played, like, some acceptable basketball. I mean, shoot, Pope had that game winner. But it was kind of tough watching them late in the season and to see, like, really good players kind of ball out and to just kind of have that in the back of your head of, like, these guys might be vulnerable to the transfer portal. And so, you know, I'm not sure how they shake out with next year's kind of hybrid WCC schedule. But, I think that's a tougher uphill just because you haven't, outside of 1 year, you haven't seen Wayne Tinkle do anything that Scott Ruick has with that sort of situation.
Yeah, and I think it's a really tough position to be in. You're going to be all over the Big Ten, all over the Pacific Northwest teams as they continue to play. i5corridor.com. Tyson has lifted the paywall this month, so in the month of April, you want to check out his work. i5corridor.com. Grab a free subscription there. Tyson, thank you for making time, man. I appreciate you.
Hey, really appreciate it, John. Have a great day.
There he is. Sunny days. So much news today. Talia Von Olhoff in Oregon State in the portal. Jordan Pope, Oregon State in the portal. We'll talk about that. Plus, Bronny James, is he on the move as well? And where are these players going? We'll cover it next.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.